May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is the Sunday that we call Good Shepherd Sunday, because on the fourth Sunday of Easter, the psalm and the gospel reading are all about shepherds, and of course, by implication, about sheep. I grew up in rural East Yorkshire, where sheep are pretty much everywhere in the countryside. They are not known for their intelligence, but they are regarded with affection and appreciated for their contributions, wool and mutton. The 23rd Psalm famously begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in our gospel reading, Jesus told the disciples, "I am the good shepherd." So we then are the sheep. In ancient Israel and Palestine, as in East Yorkshire, sheep were ubiquitous and familiar, which is why Jesus and the psalmist chose the shepherd-sheep relationship to characterize our relationship to God. Listeners would have readily understood and probably appreciated the comparison. They were people who knew livestock and agriculture as part of their daily lives. But evoking the figure of the shepherd in the hearing of first century Jewish believers was more than just a familiar, pleasant peasant simile. Moses was a shepherd, and so was King David. It was a powerful image straight out of Hebrew scripture. Many years ago, someone gave me a book called All We Like Sheep. In a humorous but also quite serious way, the book describes some characteristics of sheep that we as humans may share. For example, they are not trainable and do not learn from their mistakes. They are unable to right themselves if they fall on their backs. The shepherd has to roll them over. They need to hear the voice and feel the touch of the shepherd in order to stay calm and healthy. They know by the sound of the shepherd's voice which flock they belong to, and they have to be led, not driven. If driven, they tend to scatter. That's why, if you're traveling through the English countryside, you may encounter a shepherd leading a flock of sheep, usually with a dog or two running behind and alongside to keep them together. Sheep are followers because they have no idea where they're going. Without a shepherd, they would stay in their same pasture instead of seeking out new, fresh grass. Or they would wander into a den of wolves. They need a guide, someone who knows their needs and can tend to them, someone to ward off scary wolves and defend them in the face of danger, someone who recognizes their markings and knows their distinctive identities, someone who will help them bring new lambs into the world, someone who's trustworthy and knows the lie of the land, the places of danger, and the places of respite. Jesus is telling his disciples then, and us now, that this is how he cares for us. He's not a leader who's around just long enough to get paid, like the hired hand. He's not there just to do the easy work. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has come to offer salvation, salvation through love, self-giving, tenderness, and vulnerability. And that this shepherd of ours is good does not mean he is meek or tame. Decades ago, I sat on a tiny wooden chair in Sunday school with a picture on the wall of Jesus, a fair and handsome shepherd, cradling a lamb in his arms. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. We can probably all remember pictures like that. In fact, the Good Shepherd must be strong, resourceful, and smart. And during long days and nights in the wilderness, as he leads the wandering flock and keeps them safe. Reciting the 23rd Psalm reminds us that Jesus is our only shepherd, the one whose voice we must heed. But it also reminds us that often we listen to the call of wolves and lazy hired hands. The hired hand is only in it for the paycheck and doesn't really care about the sheep. And when danger threatens, he runs away and leaves them. Jesus, on the other hand, doesn't distance himself from the hazards of the job or the dangers that the flock faces. He shares in those dangers and even lays down his life to defend the flock. While the whole psalm testifies to God's tender protection, the verb at the end, translated as follow, can also be rendered as pursue. Goodness and mercy shall pursue me. This idea of relentless pursuit led to John Calvin's famous characterization of God as the hound of heaven who demands to be near us, whether or not we desire it. And in the Hebrew Bible, being good is more than just being kind. To be good is also to be just and true. The goodness of God and of the Good Shepherd refers not exclusively to acts of comfort and protection, but more broadly to acts of salvation and justice, acts that testify to God's steadfast love. We are indeed the people of God's pasture and the sheep of his hand. But that doesn't mean we are supposed to spend our time just hanging around, occasionally getting lost, grazing in green pastures, drinking from still waters, and being taken care of because there is absolutely no way we could survive on our own. No. Remember the wool and mutton. Shepherds don't generally keep sheep as pets. There are reasons for the whole enterprise and expectations for all concerned. The sheep are useful. They are important. They are valuable assets. The Good Shepherd expects things of us. The care that God offers us is intended to lead to something real and substantial. And we who understand ourselves to be in this relationship with the Good Shepherd have particular responsibilities as members of the flock. The theologian Karl Barth said that there is no such thing as an individual Christian. And interestingly, in the English language, there is no separate singular form of the word sheep. In our essential belongingness, our being is bound up with the entire flock. But wait, there's more. Jesus says, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." He is speaking in the context of his mission to the Gentile world, but there is a message there that resonates for us too. It speaks to our encounters with those both inside and outside our community who seem to have come from a different world or heard Jesus speak in a different voice. Whenever we become comfortable in our community, Jesus reminds us that he is equally committed to those outside it, and he suggests that those outside our fold are just as equipped as we are to hear what he has to say. The shepherd's staff has two useful ends: a crook for drawing the sheep away from danger, and a blunt end for prodding them towards places they would rather not go. A good shepherd both protects and agitates as needed, both gathers in for shelter and leads out to graze in new pastures. And so it is with God, the good shepherd who draws us in to hold us, but also challenges us to go where we would rather not go so that God's purposes can be fulfilled. Yes, God comforts and protects us, but God also urges us towards the realization of our potential as the people we were created to be. And that's the wool and mutton. We are to produce, to give back from who we are, from what we can do, from what our situation in life is, and from our various skills, abilities, resources, and gifts. Of course, in reality, we have to leave the production of wool and mutton to the actual sheep. But we, as God's people, have the potential to worship and serve, to reach out and share, to study and pray, to increase in holiness and tell the truth, to seek for justice and be willing to sacrifice. If we do these things, we can grow in a disciplined and steady way into the full stature of the person that God calls us to be, and do this in community and with integrity. This is what is expected of us. And it isn't just about church work, although that is important. It's about the work of the church. It's true that we often struggle to discern the work that we're called to, but our reading from John's first letter today certainly gives us a place to start. Little children, John writes, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Just as each and every sheep has purpose and value and worth, each and every one of us can contribute and is called to contribute in one way or another to the mission and work of the church. We are needed, and without us, without any single one of us, the mission and work of God and God's church are impoverished. We matter, and things are expected of us. We are valuable assets of the Good Shepherd. In the words of Saint Teresa of Avila, Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion is to look out to the world. Yours are the feet with which Christ is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which Christ is to bless all people now. Wool and mutton may not be our gifts, but our hands, feet, and eyes will do nicely.